Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Today, we're finishing up our series called Outcast. And the whole idea and the whole premise of this series is to look at the life and ministry of Jesus and who he associated with. That Jesus was a friend of the outcast. Jesus was a friend of the people that were marginalized in society, those that people had just cast aside. That Jesus truly had a heart and a passion for the outcast, the outsiders. We've seen different examples. The first week, just to recap, the first week we looked at just how passionate Jesus is for the outcast, the outsiders. That we looked at the parable of the shepherd leaving the 99 behind to go find the one. The parable of the lost coin that the woman diligently searched until she found it. And then the most familiar parable probably of all of those is the prodigal son. That the father never gave up on his son and welcomed his son with open arms. And that's a reminder to us that Jesus is always welcoming to all of us. No matter where we go, no matter how far we wander, God always welcomes us back home. Then we looked at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a fascinating story, just a little blip of his life, but Zacchaeus' life was changed because of an encounter with Jesus. That he could have easily looked at his life, and as Jesus was coming around and couldn't see over the crowd, but he didn't. He said, I'm going to change my perspective. I'm going to see things differently. So he climbed up into a tree, and Jesus called out to Zacchaeus, and his life was changed. His heart was changed in that encounter. What everybody else thought that Zacchaeus was never going to change, he changed because he allowed his perspective to be changed and allowed Jesus to change him. Then we looked at the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears and perfume, which was completely just something out of the norm. They couldn't even believe it. The Pharisee was even going, Jesus, he must not even be a prophet. Do you know who this woman is? Jesus knew exactly who she was. But she was responding out of faith, out of the compassion that Jesus had for her, that she had to do something, that sometimes God is going to call us to do something that may be outside of the box, that people are going to call us crazy, and that is perfectly fine, out of response of the gospel. And then last week, we looked at 10 outcasts, the leper colony that was literally kicked out of their homes and their family because of the leprosy. They cried out to Jesus. And Jesus told them to go, that you will be healed. Go to the priest. So they went to the priest, and they were all healed, but only one came back and gave thanks to Jesus. See, he understood that Jesus could do more than just heal his physical nature, that Jesus could heal him spiritually, that he sought the healer more than he did the healing. And I submit that we need to do more of that. We need to submit to ourselves to the healer and not just seek the healing, that Jesus is so much more than what he can do for us physically, but spiritually. And today I want to look at one final passage as we conclude this series. And I believe this passage, and the amazing thing about God's word is it can speak to two different audiences at one time. And I believe there's two different things, two different aspects of this story that we're going to draw from today. I've been looking forward to preaching and sharing this message today. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll have it up on the screen in just a moment. But Luke chapter 23. Now, this passage and where we pick up the passage is truly life-changing. It's life-changing in the fact that Jesus is nailed to the cross, that he has endured pain and suffering. And we pick up here that he is in his final moments of breathing breath before he passes on the cross. This is a heavy passage. But I believe it's important and necessary for us to look at today. So Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly for what we are getting, what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. This passage is extraordinary for so many different reasons. It's extraordinary because of what Jesus has endured, what he is going through, that we see just moments from his breathing his final breath, that he has endured pain. He's endured ridicule, mocking, and public shame. He's being mocked by the very soldiers that nailed him to the cross, the ones that beat him. They're mocking him. Come off the cross. If you truly are the Christ, come off the cross. They're taunting him. If you really are who you say you are, then save yourself. Come off the cross. I can never imagine, and probably none of us in this room can ever fully know and put ourselves in that situation. I can't imagine the thoughts that would be going through my mind as Jesus is on that cross. And I don't attempt to. But there's a part of me that believes, if that was me in that situation, that I would want to do something to show them exactly who I was. You want me to prove it? Okay, let me prove it to you. Come off that cross and show them what's what. I want to prove them all wrong, to leave the pain and the suffering of the cross to show everybody who I was. But yet we see Jesus endured. No matter what insult, no matter what they did to him, no matter what they threw at him, he endured every excruciating moment, every second of it. We see the picture play out that on either side of him, there are two criminals sentenced to the same death that Jesus was. Yet we know Jesus did not deserve to be there. Jesus did nothing to be on that cross. As a matter of fact, he's the last person that should be on that cross for all of eternity. Jesus was perfect in every single way. Never committed a sin, never done anything wrong, but yet he finds himself on that cross next to two criminals who deserve their sentence. They even said it. The criminal even says, we deserve to be up here. This man has done nothing wrong. And one of the criminals hurls insults at Jesus, the Bible says. Again, just like the soldiers taunting him. Save yourself, save us if you really are the Christ. And then the other one pipes up, don't you fear God? We are under the same sentence as him, but he hasn't done anything wrong. He even realized that Jesus did not deserve to be up there. And then Jesus speaks. He speaks and tells the criminal who comes to his defense, today you will be with me in paradise. Think about that extraordinary moment. That here we have the Savior of the world who is enduring this pain and suffering. You've got the Roman soldiers taunting him. You've got one criminal on one side taunting him. And then you've got another guy saying, don't you realize who this is? Why are you insulting him? We deserve to be up here. And then Jesus speaks and tells the criminal, today you will be with me in paradise. In the middle of his pain and suffering, he takes a moment to minister to someone, to assure him of his eternity. This is a very difficult passage, and I do not want to make lightly of what has taken place on the cross. But I do believe there are two important things that we need to see outside of the life-changing eternity that is taking place on the cross. There are two other stories. There are two other things that are at play. Number one, that we should not be so focused on ourselves that we miss a chance to minister to other people. It's not hard to be self-absorbed. It's not hard to be selfish. Nobody has to teach you how to be selfish, right? Go to any daycare class across the world and look at the 2, 3, and 4-year-olds. Nobody taught them to be selfish. That's mine. Nobody taught them to be selfish. Nobody teaches us how to be self-absorbed, but yet it happens. Even to our littlest ones, that we could probably go over to those classrooms over there and they might be dealing with a little bit of that today. Nobody has to teach us to be self-centered. Nobody has to teach us how to be wrapped up in our lives that we forget about everyone else. Nobody has to teach us that we just need to focus on ourselves and forget about everybody else. It naturally happens. but it should never keep us. Our lives should never be so absorbed or we should never be self-centered so much so that we forget to minister to others. If anyone had the right to be self-absorbed and self-focused, it was Jesus on that cross. If anybody had the right to say, I don't need to worry about anyone else or anything, it was Jesus in that moment. But yet, even in the middle of his darkest moments, he took time to minister to another person. Now, this was not the first time that Jesus had ever done that, to take time to minister to others. Countless times we can see through the Gospels that Jesus allows his life to be interrupted for the greater good, to his life to be interrupted so that he can minister to others, to take time and opportunity to minister to others. Just a couple. In John chapter 4, Jesus allows his life to be interrupted when he's relaxing. You know, we all have those days when we just want to relax. We don't want to be bothered. Like, we've had a busy week. Like, can I just sit in my chair for just a few minutes and not be bothered by anyone? We all have those moments. Can I just, like, go out in the backyard and just hang out in a hammock with a glass of lemonade for a little while and not be bothered by anybody? We all want those moments, and I think sometimes we need to take more of those moments. But yet, Jesus is in the middle of his relaxation, and he's interrupted by the woman at the well, and he takes time to minister to her. In Matthew 14, during his quiet time, we all need our quiet time with God. He's interrupted by a large crowd of people and ministers to them. Time and time again, we see Jesus stopping his life, what's going on, his focus, to minister to others. And now we see him on the cross, and he takes time to minister to the criminal beside him to assure him, today you will be with me in paradise. If we were able to take a step back of our lives, and sometimes I wish I could do that, but if we could take a step back of our lives, I wonder how many missed opportunities we've had to share the gospel with somebody because we were so focused on ourselves. We didn't want to allow any eruptions. You don't know what I've got going on in my life. You don't know the stress that I'm under. I can't be bothered by anyone or anything right now. And how many times we missed opportunities to minister to others. We should never be so tied down to our schedule or focused on our own troubles that we miss an opportunity to minister to another person. I don't know about you, but I don't like distractions, especially when I'm focused. When I'm working on something, when I'm kind of my mind is there, I don't like to be distracted because I can lose my train of thought. I can be working on something, something happens, I'm like, what was I just doing? Let me stay focused, let me work on. As a matter of fact, as I was preparing this message this week, I was in my office and it was a pretty crazy, hectic week, things going on, life and kids and just stuff, life. And I finally had a chance to sit down and start studying and start working. And there's a process that I go through. And I finally had that chance to start the process. And I was up here in the office working, and I heard the door open. And it's usually my kids. I'm usually up here by myself. If you ever walk in, I'm talking to myself. It's just me and God and myself talking. You know, it's perfect. I'm not crazy. I don't think I am any. So anyway, I hear the door open, and I kind of wait for a noise. Hey, hello, is anybody there? And it was Abigail. She kind of popped in and looked around my door. I'm like, okay. And Abigail's my youngest. She's 7 years old. And so I was like, I'm focused. I'm working. Okay. So I hear her go in the office, and she starts to, you know, I hear her doing some doodles and some crafts and things like that. And so I don't pay attention to her anymore. I'm like, okay, I'm focused. I'm getting in a routine. God, I've got a word, and the word that I'm speaking right now. Okay, let's go. Let's focus on this. And then she comes in, and she's like, hey, Dad, let me show you this. And I'm like, I don't really need a distraction right now. I've got a good thing going here. We're going. And then I realized, I'm like, you know what? There's only going to be a limited amount of time that she's going to be 7 years old. There's going to be a little bit of time that she's going to want to come in and show me her little arts and crafts and things that she's working on. I can either choose to be distracted right now and focus on her, or I can say, I don't have time for you right now. Come back later. I had a choice to make. Keep focusing or focus on her. I said, you know what? I need to focus on her. I'm not going to get this time back. And she showed me what she had done. And she, just the creativity that she had, just to share what she worked on, if you're wondering, she just cut out this piece of paper and she made an iPad. She cut out a piece of paper and then she, you know, drew in there. And then on the top of it, she put a piece of tape. I'm like, what's a piece of tape for? She's like, oh, so that way I can put marker on it, and then I can erase it off to show the power drain on it. So it goes from like full. What? Who thinks of that? Like, so she did that for the power and for the time, so she could erase the time off of there. Great. That's awesome. But I had the moment, I had that opportunity either to focus on her or say, sorry, I don't have time for you right now. I'm focused on this. Not that my message was not important, but in that moment, I needed to be distracted. I needed to spend time with her. A bit frustrating, yes. But we all face those times where we have a chance to be interrupted, to allow God to do something in our lives, for us to speak into somebody else's life or to stay focused. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for you. We need to allow more distractions in our lives so that we can minister to other people. We may have deadlines. We may have schedules. We need, things have to get done. I've got to get it done. But if we keep those schedules and not put people first, we may miss out on an opportunity for God to use us to minister to somebody, to share the gospel with somebody. Because ultimately, isn't that the most important thing? Not getting this project done for work, but sharing the life-altering message of eternity. Shouldn't that take precedent in our lives? I get it. Jobs are important. Money is important. Finances are important. But at the end of the day, we're not taking any of that stuff with us. We're not taking any money. You may think, well, I'm going to tuck a little bit away in my coffin. It's not coming with you. It stays here. The stress that you have from your job, woo, that stays here. Hallelujah. I knew I'd get an amen on that one. You're alive. Awesome. But there are so many things that we think are important, but in eternity they're not. Connecting with people, ministering to people, that is important. As believers, as Christians, we love to say that we want to be like Jesus. But are we producing the fruit of that? Can we look at our lives and say, this is the fruit that I'm producing? We may say, I want to be like Jesus, but can anybody look at our lives and see what we've produced? That's something that all of us must constantly question and ask ourselves and be willing to do some introspective looking at ourselves. And that's not always fun, but it's necessary. Saying we want to be like Jesus doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we're going to live this perfect life and we're going to mess up. We're going to stumble along the way. But ultimately, it means that we're putting him first and we're trying to focus on other people and not just ourselves. Because time and time and time again, Jesus put others first, even on the cross. That's why he was there. He was putting us first. Some of the interruptions that come in our lives are divine interruptions. Maybe you've been praying for somebody, but you missed it because you're so distracted. Maybe you've been praying for months. God, I just want to give me an opportunity to speak to them. Give me a way in. But you were so distracted and so focused on your life and your personal issues or things that are going on, you missed a chance to speak to them. And you're wondering, God, when's the opportunity? You had five of them last week and you missed them. Divine interruptions. Perhaps somebody, this is the thing that wrecks my world, is that sometimes, okay, please, I know I'm not the only one, but you have prayed this before. You're in church, all right, so you got to be honest, all right? You have prayed this before. God, if you're real, or you want God to speak in your life, or something along that, God, somebody will come up to me today and do something. Somebody will come up to me, I know this sounds weird, I can't be the only one. If I am, just make me feel good and just go along with it. But God, if you're really real and you heard my prayer, somebody's going to come up to me today and say the word zebra. You're laughing, so it's not just me. Okay, good. I was worried for a minute. But we've all tested God that way, right? God, if you really heard my prayers, if you're real, then somebody is going to, somehow in the course of today, somebody is going to say something to show me that you're real. What if God wants us to say zebra to somebody, but we're so focused on our life, we miss saying zebra to somebody, and we've missed an opportunity to speak into their life? God wants to use us to minister to others. God could use any avenue to minister, and he chose us. Why? I don't know, but he did. So we have to be open to interruptions to speak and to minister to others for the sake of the gospel. We have to be willing to not be so focused on our life that we miss out on chances to encourage somebody, to show them that God loves them, to show them that God cares for them. You've probably seen stories on the news, but we are so distracted by technology now that they have to put signs on the roads and on the drivewalks, caution people on their phones. When you have free time, not right now, when you have free time, go on YouTube and video people distracted on their phones. If you want to laugh for a few minutes, it's hilarious. People run into signs. There's a lady at the mall, and she literally walks into the fountain at the mall because she's on her phone. How do you not see that? Because she's distracted by this. How many times are we distracted by our life that we miss the Holy Spirit speaking something to us to encourage somebody? Jesus put others first. Even on the cross, he's ministering to somebody. We ultimately know the reason why he's on the cross, but he even takes time to speak to the criminal and says, your faith, because you know who I say that I am, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He didn't have to say a word to him. I am here suffering for all of humanity. I'm not going to listen to what any of you people say. This is all, I just need my focus time right now. And he takes a moment and says, today, to encourage him, you will be with me in paradise. May we be open to distractions and divine appointments, divine interruptions in our lives. That's the first story that plays out. The second one that I see here is it shows us that we can never be too far gone to seek repentance and receive the forgiveness of grace in our lives. This passage gives us hope, just like the criminal on the cross, that it's never too late. There are so many people that say, it's too late for me. You don't know what I've done in my past. God can never use me. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. God can use everyone. There is nothing that you have done in your past that is too much for God to use you. As a matter of fact, your past is probably going to be your platform that God is going to use to minister to other people, to say, you did what I did and God is using you? Yes. But yet we allow the lies of the enemy to discredit us, to tell us that we're unworthy, that it's too far gone. This passage gives us hope. Growing up, I heard my mom say it many, many, many times. At one time, she was serving God, and she was passionately serving God. And then the common term that we use in church, she backslid. And she did things that weren't, things that she wasn't happy, wasn't proud of. And she told me time and time again, there's no way I can go back to church. The walls are going to come crashing in. How many of you have heard that? People have said that to you. There's no way I can go to church because the walls are going to fall in, or I'm going to catch on fire, or whatever their excuse is. But ultimately, that's what it is. It's an excuse because they know that they haven't lived the way that God has called them to live, but we can't get our life right and then say, that's when I'm going to come to church. That's the reason why we're here, to get our life right. You don't say, I broke my arm, and I'm going to wait for it to heal, and then I'm going to go to the doctor. That's what we're playing out. No, you come to the doctor to get healed, to put a cast on it. We can never go too far that God can't use us. We can never go too far not to receive God's grace and forgiveness. The criminal on the cross should be a reminder to all of us, an encouragement to share that with others. It's never too far. You've never gone too far. This passage is hope in the middle of pain and suffering. Jesus tells that criminal, today you will be with me in paradise. If anyone thought that my time is up, it's him. He's literally moments away from death as well. But yet, Jesus affirms in him, because his faith, that today he will be in paradise. He's still breathing. There's still chance. If anyone thought they didn't deserve it, I'm sure that probably crossed his mind. He realized the sins that he committed. He's the one that said, we deserve to be up here. Jesus doesn't. He hasn't done anything wrong. We deserve it. Our sins, the punishment fits the crime. But yet he still received grace and forgiveness because there's still breath in his lungs. There are a lot of people that think it's just too late for them. But it's never too late until we take that final breath. There's a story of a lady who received her high school diploma at 111 years old. 111 years old. Charlie, you still got another 10, 11, 12 years to go. So Charlie's already graduated. He's, 111 years old. She finally receives her high school diploma. Can you imagine how many times she thought in her life, it's too late. I'm too old. What's the point? But yet at 111 years old, she receives her high school diploma. It is never too late as long as there is breath in our lungs. If we want to achieve something, if we want to do something, there is still opportunity for us. It is never too late. Maybe you thought that it's too late for me, that it's too late. I can't do anything for God. It is never too late. Maybe you need to be that encouragement to somebody. Maybe you've heard people say that. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, God, it's too late for me. It is not too late. Or maybe you're that person that's going to share this story with somebody who gives you that excuse or gives you that rationale why they're not serving God. Whatever it may be, God, it is not too late for this person. And this is why. Let me share with you this story. It's never too late for any of us, no matter what we've done, no matter what we think our past is. Time and time again, we see Jesus focus on people's future and not their past. We get so wrapped up in our past that it inhibits us from walking into our future. That we believe because all of our baggage and all the stuff that we've done, it will keep us from doing what God has called us to do. That somehow it disqualifies us. But when you see Jesus minister to people, do you see him pull up and dredge up everything in their past? Do you go through the Gospels and go, man, Jesus really let her have it? No, he doesn't focus on their past. He focuses on their future. We are the ones that hold on to our past. We're the ones John was talking about this morning in our prayer time. We're the ones that wake up every day and drag it on with us. Jesus says, look at the future. Don't look at the past. What past? It's gone. Look at the future that I have for you. We're the ones that hold on to it. We're the ones that disqualify ourselves. It's never the wrong time to share the gospel, and our future is really the only thing that matters. It's never too late to seek repentance and forgiveness. Over the past several weeks, we have seen time and time again, example after example, and there's many others, of outcasts, people that thought in their minds that God couldn't use them, that they had gone too far, that society had thrown them away. But God used them, changed their lives, changed their perspective. We see just how important outcasts were to Jesus and how much he loves them. And maybe you've been a part of this series the past couple weeks, or maybe you're here today for the first time. You say, you know what, I feel like an outcast. I don't feel like I fit anywhere. I feel like my past has disqualified me. I've had people speak things into my life that tell that I'm not worthless, that I'm worthless, that I'm never going to amount to anything. Think about the examples that we've looked at. I wonder how many people looked at the life of Zacchaeus and he is never going to do anything else. He's always going to be a thief. He's always going to be a slimy tax collector. That's all he's ever going to be. But an encounter with Jesus changed his life. I know what it feels like to be an outcast. I know what it feels like to have people that are family members and close family members and say that you're never going to amount to anything. I know what it feels like to have people look at you and say things about you and hear things that they've said about you that basically you're not going to amount to anything. I have heard that as a teenager. I heard family members basically speak into my life I was never going to amount to anything and that I would live at home with my parents until I died or until they died. Do you know how demoralizing that is? Do you know how much of an outcast I felt like? I don't fit in with anybody. God must not love me. Nobody loves me, that I'm just going to be this loser the rest of my life. I bought into the lie of depression and of guilt and of shame that I must be worthless to the point of even thinking, what is worth it? Why do I even want to live? I spent an entire summer in my bedroom, barely saw the light of day because I bought into the lie that I was an outcast. That is until I met Jesus. Until I realized there was something greater that he had for me than what people saw. That there was something greater in my life than what I saw. That he saw my future. He saw what I was capable of. I would have never imagined that I would have a beautiful wife and a beautiful family. There was a time in my life that I never thought that was possible. Until I had an encounter with Jesus. I know what it feels like for people to count you out, to say that you're not going to amount to anything. But we don't have to buy into that lie. You're here today because God says there's a future for you. You are here today for a reason. Maybe you're here today because you bought into the lies that you're never going to accomplish anything for God. That you bought into the lies of people that have spoken to your life, that didn't see your future. Or maybe you're here today because you need to encourage somebody. Maybe you need to stop being so focused on your life and say, I need to focus on other people. I need to speak life into them. I don't know why you're here, but there's a reason why. So all across the room, if you would, let's close this way. If you would stand with me. Life isn't easy. Life is hard. Life is difficult. But it's even more difficult when we buy into the lies of the enemy. Today, and I hope through this series, you've realized that God has something greater for you. That you don't have to buy into the lies that the enemy has spoken into your life. That there is something far greater than what you see. That God can use you despite your past, despite what you've done. God has a plan for your life. God has something for all of us to do. It's a matter of, are we willing? Are we going to submit to him? Are we not going to be so focused on ourselves and be willing to be used by him? Across the room, if you would, close your eyes and bow your heads with me. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Not what you think your husband, your wife, your kids, what they think you should, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? I know there are people in here today that have bought into the lies that God will never use you. Today, you need to hear this. God is going to use you to do great things for him. He is not concerned about your past. He is only concerned about your future. Today, you need to walk in his future. Leave the baggage behind. Drop it today. Leave it this morning. Don't pick it back up when you wake up tomorrow. Don't pick it up when you go home. Leave it. But Pastor, I've heard this before. Because you picked it up. Leave it. Let it be done. Your past is in the past. Jesus died on the cross so our past would be the past. That all we have to do is ask for forgiveness. Believe that he died for us and say, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. Forgive me of my sin. And it's gone, washed away. Your future starts today. Leave it behind. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what you've done. Leave it behind. Maybe you're here today and you say, I just want to be an encourager. God, help me be open to minister to others. I don't want to be so focused on my lives. I miss opportunities. Help me, Holy Spirit, to speak encouragement to others. Help me not be so focused on my life that I miss a chance to speak into somebody else's life. Maybe you're here today and say, God, I'm open to divine interruptions. When I go to the store, I want to be mindful of your word, of your spirit speaking to me. When I'm at work, I want to be mindful of not being so focused on the task at hand, to be focusing on ministering to others, to share the love of Jesus to others. That I want to be open, that if somebody has prayed today, God, show me you're real, that I can be that person to show them God is real. No matter where you are, no matter how you came in today, the Holy Spirit is speaking. Let's be open to Him. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person. Holy Spirit, you speak, you minister. For those that are here this morning that feel like they can't accomplish anything of their past, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that their past is begone, that their past is in the future, their past is in the past. Today starts their future. That they walk in the fullness and the knowledge of your grace and your forgiveness. That we can look at the example of this criminal on the cross who deserved to die up there but offered salvation in that moment. That there's nothing that we can do to keep us from you. That's why you're on that cross, to allow us that chance and that opportunity. God, for those that are here today that just say, I want to be open to you. God, I know I say all the time I want to be more and more like you, but help me act it out. Help me live that out every day. Let me not be so focused on myself and my situations, but to be open to minister to somebody that needs to hear it, somebody that needs to be encouraged. I just want to be used by you. As a church, may that be our prayer. May that be our desire to be used by you. To be open to you, Holy Spirit, every moment of every day. God, I thank you. Holy Spirit, I thank you. That we can walk out of this place today changed because of your word and because of your presence here. Pray, God, that we can all walk out of these doors with our heads held high and our shoulders back, knowing there's a plan and there's a future, a bright future for us. That we would be more and more like you every single day. Less of us and more of you. Jesus, I thank you. I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope this series has spoken to you. I hope this series has encouraged you. But I want you to know, anybody in here today, we are in this together. We are a church family. And if there's anything that you need, please let us know. Don't feel like you have to do life on your own. That's why we're here. If there's something we can join with you in prayer, if there's something that we can do, please don't keep it to yourself. Join together. Be a part of what God is doing here. God is doing some amazing things in this local body of believers, and I am so thankful that you're all a part of it. I can't wait to see what's next, how God is going to continue to move things forward. If there's anything that you have need of and you just want to join with anybody in prayer, please don't leave here today. Come up to the front. We'd love to join with you in prayer.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.